And then she's like, I'm going to be quirky. I'm not going to drive to his house. No. I'm different. I'm different. I'm going to take a little boat. And so she takes a boat with her little birds and she leaves it over. And then he's smitten. He's like, what a quirky woman. And he's not at all throwing out red flags. He's not at all like, that's scary. She found me. Came to my second house that my mother lives at and my young sister and left birds at my door. And he's smitten. He's like, okay, yeah, this is happening.
Absolutely. I love Unhinged. Let's go.
Yeah, this is great. You're committed. That's what it shows.
No, I'm Kat.
And we're the Ghouls Next Door, honey.
Excellent. I love that.
Talking about spooky stuff, as we do. Translating accent, just for reference, is very hard to do.
You were doing something, if not that. I assume it was that. I don't know what that sounds like otherwise. So I think you killed it. You did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. It's like a mix of British and English. Or American English, you know?
Well,
and
then
it's
like, you did it. It sounded like that, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just support you blindly.
Sometimes it's a little more high-pitched. We're talking about the birds. And the birds are terrifying in reality and also in filming. And also even more horrifying is behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear about it. Because the little bit that you've told me sounded crazy. So, me and my bird army are ready to listen to the history of the birds.
Yes. This episode, for listeners, is going to be really fun because ghouls are on two sides of an issue here, in that Kat loves birds. Kat loves ducks. Kat has an abundance of birds. When we saw all my many sloth fan stuff, now we see all of Kat's fan stuff. Several stuffed birds.
There's the mallard duck.
Gifted you birds. When we decided to do this series about killer animals and how terrifying they were, I was like, well, we have to do Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah.
Because I'd never seen it because I'm afraid of birds. And why would I do that? I will say this film was really just like, what's the word? Like gratifying. It felt like, confirmation.
Validated.
Yeah. Validation. Like, I was like, this is what I've been threatening. I was like, literally, there's so little, like, it's just their little brains working the right way that keeps us safe. Because and one of the characters says it in the film, they're just like, if the birds decided one day that they're gonna come after us, we would be doomed. Like, that's it for
us.
There's
so many birds. And also, like, they used to be dinosaurs. Like, that they are, like, the what's left of the dinosaurs. Like, everyone says that. The reason I don't fear birds is because I grew up with them. Like, my grandpa had birds. And, like, one of our activities would be to go feed the chickens or go feed the ducks. So it was always, like, bird-centered entertainment as a child. And the one story that I have that is justification of, like, I should be afraid of birds is that he had a rooster that was really mean. And it would chase me around the yard. Like, it would literally, like, it would see me and it'd be like, what's up? Like, we're going to fight. And it would chase me around the yard. And then there were geese that would do the same thing. But for whatever reason, I just
geese are so scary.
Confirmed that as a fear because he had like parakeets and like canaries and doves and they were super cute. They're like babies.
I knew someone who had a pet bird and the bird attacked me. And
oh no. Well, that's why you're
trying to peck my eyes out. It's crazy because I've been attacked by like dogs too. I've been attacked by people's pet dogs and I'm not afraid of dogs. Like, I respect dogs. I also understand that I can't have a dog that's bigger than me. I do not give off alpha energy when it comes to dogs.
Yeah.
And they know that. Yeah. But birds, I don't know, that affected me. But okay, first of all, birds have an aerial advantage. Okay.
It's true.
They're up there. They can see everything that we can't see. Okay. Yeah. Some of them, you're right. Some of the really scared ones aren't flying, and they're still really scary. They're very fast. They can be really stupid fast.
I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Yeah, some of them are like, wow, why is that bird so fast? I guess that's like what the Roadrunner is based off of. So. Yeah.
They have knives on their feet.
They do, yeah.
And a lot of illness.
They're just covered like in diseases. Full of illness.
Yeah. Absolutely. They're so awful. And yeah, the birds sense fear on me. And sometimes just walking through the city, like just yesterday.
Pigeons are the cutest.
A pigeon, like, they can be really pretty and they get a bad rap. I totally get it. I hate it when people call them rats with wings. I get it. Also, rats, bad rap, right?
Yeah, rats are super smart.
It flew like at me and I was like, like, you're embarrassing me. Like, I'm an adult woman.
Walking through this city. What's it called? The lions do. And the
faves, and they win every time.
I sense your fear. I'm just making sure you know who's boss.
One it's time me, I was the eating pigeon. A lobster roll on the Atlantic City boardwalk with my mom, and the seagulls at Atlantic City are ravenous monsters because people just give them whatever. It's a lawless country.
For I think seagulls are valid to fear.
So scary, and they swarmed us. I was going to cry. I was like, "Mommy!" Like, never in my life, never in my life have I ever been like, "Mother, save me!" And that it was like,
but the birds.
I reverted to child right now.
Yeah,
I need protection in a way I've never in my life needed.
Like seagulls, it's valid. It's valid because one, they do fly. Two, they like swoop down and they're really loud. They just scream at you and it's a lot. It's a lot.
From afar.
Yeah.
The soundtrack of the sea. It's beautiful, right? Not near me. Don't put chips over here. Don't put french fries over here. I'm trying to be in the sun. Yeah. We're not having this. Oh my God. Terrifying.
Roosters, as a fun fact, are also pretty scary because they're very territorial. Roosters are
super
and
scary.
They will F you up. Like, they really. It chased me like with speed. I did outrun it. I will say I was pretty fast as a kid. Kudos to child me.
For anyone who's somehow managed to listen to the goals and know that one of my fears is birds. That it is. Okay. And it's valid. I think they're scary. And this movie, in all of its ambiguity, it has proven we're just one bad lunch away from birds. Deciding that, you know, they don't care anymore. Climate change is real. They're getting mad. You can't blame them.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it.
Is it happening, though? Like, you found evidence that the bird apocalypse is upon us? Or, like, you're just trusting that this film, like, really validated that as the future in your gut.
It just says it can.
Rise of the birds. And
it was influenced by a real-life event where just a little tummy ache caused all these birds to go little cuckoo bananas. And now it was scary. So there's also other things, and I'll get into it because, of course, it's film and it's like cinema, right? It's supposed to say more than it is. And so the birds, the film, we've never covered a Hitchcock film. Which is kind of crazy to say, just given the impact that Hitchcock has had on suspense, thriller, horror as a genre. That being said, like, we've never done a Carpenter film either. So, you
really?
Know, like, yeah, like, we don't often cover some of those, like, quote unquote, greats,
classics,
or the ones, the classics often. And for good reason, you know, I mean, it took us forever to do Rosemary's Baby by Roman Polanski. And when we did, it was with a very specific reason. So I think with this film, we'll find that being a similar take in that there's a lot going on and there's influences in the film. There's things that are going to come through. And it's often with impactful people in the industry. Usually men, there are horrifying things that are going on. So we don't always want to cover those things. But I was happy that we watched The Birds. It's something I've wanted to watch and just like never had a good enough reason to. It was really hard to find too. It's which is crazy. Maybe it's in the Criterion collection or something, and we just I don't know. Missed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's crazy we haven't done like Rear Window or North by Northwest or something. Psycho. You know, absolutely. And I think there's a lot to be said. There's stuff when I was watching, and I know there's these cliche like styles and intentions that Hitchcock is known for, that as a modern viewer, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, someone's a little up their own ass, a little too much. You want to come back out here with the rest of them?
Clearly, you don't like women. Yeah. Because every single one in that movie was either losing their absolution or was like, just like, save me, like very dramatically. And all, none of the men cried. They were so serious. It was really absurd.
Especially like the being reduced to these tropes of women, these caricatures, these archetypes of the woman and the different roles that they're meant to play, and always in relation to the men in their lives. And
it was like, oh, I'm really happy I don't live then.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't live then. Oh. And we're going to be talking about the perseverance of Tippi Hedren, because, girl, she went through it, and she is out there. She's out there. Like, Tippi, I just want you to know, you're amazing. I hope you hug all your big cats, but, like, safely. And we will talk about it. So why don't we talk about the film first, which is The Birds from 1963. And it's about a wealthy San Francisco socialite pursues a potential boyfriend to a small Northern California town that slowly takes a turn for the bizarre when birds of all kinds suddenly begin to attack people. It's directed by Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Not a great man, Hitchcock. So essentially the story of The Birds is that there is this very spontaneous, quirky, modern woman who takes things into her own hands. She's a prankster. She's funny. She follows her own rules and lives by her own rules, you know? And she catches the fancy of this lawyer, and then it goes to investigate. She takes a meet cute very far. She's committed to this meet cute, and so she follows this man, which would be a red flag. Genuinely be a red flag.
Absolutely.
All the way to his seaside town. What a weird town it is, and it's a time period where nobody is cautious.
No sense of danger. Like, they're like, who is this man? Tell me all of the details of his life. And they're like, absolutely, I'm not going to question who you are at all.
What's his sister's name? Oh, I don't remember. Check with her school teacher. Oh, sure. What's her address? Like,
it was like really like they had no sense of fear. Like, it makes so much sense that so many movies of that time were like kids getting kidnapped and like, you know, like just very murder happening, but we're so shocked, and it's just because like we left our doors open.
what a time that you said. Like, I know there's a film I've been meaning to watch called The Invention of Lying,
where that one's funny.
The premise is like the guy decides he learns what lying is and no one knows. That's what this felt like. It felt to me like they haven't discovered lying yet. So they haven't encountered a con artist who's like, you didn't get you to ask questions yet. Why are you asking questions? That's so weird. They're like, oh, absolutely, young woman.
Here is his address and the school of his child.
Yes, you can rent
and
a boat.
The details of his entire upbringing. Like, here you go.
Is his mother, his father, him, his sister, his address, where his place of work is. I know every single day that he is in his home.
It was like a Law and Order SVU episode where they go to like ask questions.
Yeah,
of the person.
I know him.
Yeah, I remember him exactly. And what he was wearing and who he was with and how many times he went to the bathroom. I know all the details of him.
He came in like every day from 8 p.m. to 9:15. And
yeah, like I forget
a Cosmopolitan
what day of the week it is often. Yeah. How do you remember? Or like who I saw or what I was doing. Where's my phone? I don't know.
Are other people here? I don't know.
And then everyone in this film was like, I get it, it's a movie, you know, it's scripted, so they know everything. Yeah. But it's just very silly. It's very silly.
It is. Like, it starts when she first, so the first time she meets this man, she's in a bird store. She's in a pet store that's full of birds, and they all are in cages, which is really important. You got these people flocking around, and she's inquiring about a bird that will speak. And the joke is, we learn that she's trying to find a bird that will speak. She's going to teach it bad words and gift it to her aunt so that her aunt is, you know, appalled. Yeah. She faints because her classic poor womanly self can't handle such language. And because she's a prankster.
Yeah.
And
she's not like other girls.
No. So she is there to do that. And she's like, I need it now. Deliver it. I can't be bothered to come here. Yeah. And then he shows up, the beau of the story, shows up looking for two lovebirds. And she pretends to be an employee of the shop. And she knows nothing about birds. And she's playing it off. And he knows she knows nothing about birds. And I think it's flirting.
Sure.
For like the whole interaction, I was like, is this flirting? Is this like old people flirting? For the time,
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really
rules. I don't know what any of it means.
It was so hard. Like, I was like, it felt rude. I don't know, but yeah, it was flirting. It really honestly, just like me being honest, Gabe, it took me until she was like on the way with the lovebirds to the little coastal town for me to be like, oh, she likes him. Like, actually, honestly, I think it was straight up until she encountered the teacher that I was like, oh, she likes him. This isn't just a very elaborate prank on a man that she's like mad at.
Yeah. This is old-timey, like, how you fall in love, pursuing. I guess. Sure.
Yeah. So he's on the lookout for lovebirds for his sister. His sister is infatuated with the idea of lovebirds because they, you know, mate for life and all this other stuff. And it's, like, this cute back and forth. I learned a lot about birds. And she is quirky. Like, I think it's well done in that you do learn about who she is through that specific interaction, and then the next few interactions that bring her to the coastal town in that second faithful meeting with him.
Uh-huh.
I've learned enough about her.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, it's so funny because the film would do a great job of showing and, you know, giving you enough information through these characters' actions to understand who they are and like what we're supposed to take from them. And then they would just tell you anyway. Yeah. And I was like, you didn't need to tell me.
I got it. 30 to 45 minutes too long in that it was just like, in case you didn't get it, here is the entire essence of this character.
Let me tell you what her deal is. I was like, I knew.
Yeah, I could tell. From the first interaction, honestly, you didn't need to elaborate from that point on, and I got it.
Yeah.
She's a little quirky.
Yes. And I think a part of it is Hitchcock's need to stretch everything out into an absurdly long amount of time for this idea of building suspense, because you're just like,
oh, is that what he was doing?
Yeah, you're trying to get something to happen. You're like, is something gonna happen? What's happening? And then, like,
at any point in this film, I was like, I wonder if something's gonna happen. I was like, I've accepted nothing is happening, and eventually birds will be here.
Yeah. I hate what's happening. But for me, it felt less like a drawing out of suspense and, you know, sitting in moments. And it felt more to me like everything was very spoon-fed. For me, it felt like that perhaps at this time period, and again, I can't speak to it, I didn't exist in 1963. Wasn't a thought. Okay, like my grandmother was a baby. I don't know. Right? And so it could be that in such an earlier, like, approach to cinema and media making, that there wasn't a trust that an audience would get it. And given how the characters are written, and it is a reflection of the time, maybe, you know, people were a little slower to, you know, uptake there. So maybe they needed to be a little spoon-fed. Yeah. Right. And that's why, like, you know,
and we live in the age of TikTok and instant gratification. So we're like, get to the point.
Yeah, we get it. And we've been inundated with so much media that it's easy for us to kind of fill in the blanks and get to the point quicker in here than it, like, in our minds, than it was possibly for them. That's something also, being drawn out.
We ingest media at, like, a rate that is, like, our processing speed is probably crazy, because we're just constantly taking in information. It's super valid.
And we've seen, like, everything, you know? Yeah. Like, we've seen so many things, especially, like, our generation, the next generation, one after that. We've seen things that we probably shouldn't see. Yeah. So we already have knowledge, right? We already have a trust in our media that they probably
maybe wasn't as established.
So
that's
totally okay.
Super valid.
So that was, like, one of my gripes, was, like, it took forever and I didn't like that they were spoon feeding everything to us, but kind of giving it credit for its time. And so she, one of the craziest scenes is, like, she gets the lovebirds and then she goes to deliver it to his house. She finds his house, because we learn, in, I'm telling you, the first 15 minutes is when you learn everything you ever need to know about her. Her dad is very important. He runs a magazine, and she's a socialite in that way, and so she is able to acquire his address because she is very powerful.
Yeah.
Flat out. And she could do whatever she wants. You know what she makes me think of? She makes me think of Brittany Murphy's character in Uptown Girls.
Yeah,
just do whatever you want and you're quirky for it. Except Brittany Murphy's character in Uptown Girls has significantly more growth and is far more of a person. Because that's a film that's about, like, her discovering, like, growing up in through her childhood and also helping little Dakota Fanning find herself and learn that she can be a kid and doesn't have to grow up.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And this was about birds.
This was about birds, and this was about romance and the woman. Right. Yeah. This is about women and on women violence. In one of the most absurd scenes, she goes to his house and his neighbor is like, he knows every single thing about this man. It's like, oh, you're going to his house? Well, he's not here. On the weekends, he goes to this place. Here's the address. Here's the roads that you can take. There are two of them. Here's how long it will take you.
They have online dating. That's why. They're like, we're going to help you. This is your Facebook page. It's the neighborhood.
It's just crazy because he's like, here, the first road will take you 45 minutes to get there. The second road will take you 2. And it's like, what? She ends up, and it's like the longest scene of her driving. You see little birds, and she drives crazy. She drives like me, except carefree and not like it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And she just makes her way to
downtown,
this coastal town. It's a really little population of 50, probably, honestly, and 30 of them are the children. And
because it was the time when you had lots of children, so
she asks questions, she gets answers immediately. She finds herself interacting with a school teacher of his younger sister, and she used to date him.
Sure.
The whole situation. And then she's like, I'm going to be quirky. I'm not going to drive to his house. No. I'm different.
You can't do
that. I'm different. I'm going to take a little boat. And so she takes a boat with her little birds and she leaves it over. And then he's smitten. He's like, what a quirky woman. And he's not at all throwing out red flags. He's not at all like, that's scary. She found me. Came to my second house that my mother lives at and my young sister, and left birds at my door. And he's smitten. He's like, okay, this is happening.
Absolutely. I love Unhinged. Let's go.
This is great. You're committed. That's what it shows.
Yeah.
And she immediately, like, on her way back, this is when things kick off, because she gets attacked by a bird. She gets attacked by a seagull. And they're like, oh, what's wrong with you? You're bleeding. Something happening. And it starts, like, slowly. And as her relationship with him is growing and getting a little weird, but growing, the birds start progressively acting up. So there's, like, an instance where the bird runs into the door. There's an instance where the birds are flocking and kind of coming at people aggressively, all the way until a bird pecks out some man's eyes.
Sure does.
And I saw a video by The Take, which was super helpful just in getting over some of the things that I was wrapped up in, and in talking more about the themes of the birds and what it could be saying. And one of them was, like, this discussion of how the school teacher is very quick to be like, it's not an Oedipus complex, but he is very close with his mother. And his mother is very overprotective of him and, like, doesn't want him to be with a woman because she can give him what the mom can't. And then I was like, grandchildren? I was like, what is the answer? And she said, love. And I was like, no, moms can give you love. What is happening? And she was so insistent. Like, she was trying so hard to be like, no, it's not gross. It's not weird. It's like, but it is weird.
It's a little weird,
but he's very, like, he calls his mom darling, and he kisses her on the forehead, and not in, like, a son affectionate way. It is weird. And she's like, I was like, I refuse to believe that these people are significantly far apart in age. She did not seem that old.
Yeah,
he's a grown man.
He looked like a whole, like, man in his, like, 40s, maybe 50s.
And to then be fair,
yeah.
Thinking about it, though, people aged really fast back then. So he could have been 23, in all honesty. He's a lawyer, no. So maybe he's, like,
stress
30s, you know?
Stress wrinkles, every lotion. Yeah, I got you.
Also, he's white. Like, you know, there's something. He's also Australian, like, IRL, so that probably adds to it as well as the sun.
Sun exposure,
not
yeah.
great. So.
All right, I see.
Like, I'm retconning myself.
Either way,
here.
The moral of the story is he has a weird relationship with his mom. It's like, you should love your mom and, like, be there for your mom if you're a person sometimes. But maybe don't. Like, not
your mom shouldn't interfere with your romantic relationships in such
weird.
A way.
It's weird.
It's weird. And on top of that, the take, which has a really great and helpful YouTube video, highly recommend you look it up. They explain that the pecking of the eyes of that man could be connected to the fact that Oedipus, upon realizing that he married his mother, gouged his own eyes out. He stabbed himself in the eyes.
Oh, so it's like, hey, remember that?
So might be tied up in there. And it's like, what's going on? essentially, the whole film is just that now, like, their relationship is growing. They're getting closer. She becomes more vulnerable with him, and she admits that she didn't have a mom growing up. Her mom skipped town when she was, like, 11 and ran off with, like, a hotel manager in the East. The East Coast. And she's all messed up because of it, and she's wild. Also, the mother doesn't approve because, again, she's a modern woman, and there were rumors and there were photos of her skinny dipping. I think it was skinny dipping.
Yeah, scandalous at the time.
Yes, and she Melanie mentions that it was because of a competitive magazine that was doing that. So slandering her name because she's in association with her father who runs this competitor, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh. But their relationship is growing. question mark. I don't know. All of a sudden they were like in it. And I was like, all this time, birds have been attacking you. Like, you haven't done anything. You haven't gone on a date. You've just been tormented by birds.
Yeah, they just immediately become trauma bonded, I guess. Like, I totally agree because, like, I just remember, like, looking down and then looking up and they were like married, and I was like, what is happening? When did this happen? And like, I also think I did a bad job watching this movie.
You're
saying
totally
some of
sleepy.
This and I'm like, yeah, I was there.
No, it's okay. It's sleepy. But she, yeah, they do that weird mouth push thing that old timey movies did where it was like not really a kiss, or maybe that's how people kiss back then and it's wrong. Glad we learned that that's not the way to do it. You don't just smush your faces together and kind of move around. I love the mouth push. It's so fun. Actually, K-dramas do it so much. Actually, it's actually weird when they do a real kiss. They love a mouth push. I don't know, it's classy. So their relationship is progressing, and so are these birds, and it gets really chaotic. We get some really absurd scenes in which, through circumstance, birds set fire to a gas station. People are getting killed left and right.
They
people
attack
are
a bunch
hurting
of school
hysterics
children.
In this diner, and they're blaming her because she's the outsider.
She's a witch or something.
You know, it's given the mist a little bit at that point. The school children are attacked. And I will say some of the most hardened school children I've ever seen. And for me, I was like, okay, this is the time period in which these are kids who are actively doing like nuclear bomb drills where they're like hiding under their desk. Like that's going to do anything for a nuclear bomb. So these kids are hardened. So the fact that the teacher comes in and is like, okay, children, we're all going to run for our lives outside. And we're all going to do it really well. We're not going to go crazy right now. When I count to three, we're just going to bolt. So you're going to go to your assigned locations. And then they're like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like, yeah, oh, that's so annoying. But yeah, obviously we're going to do
teacher,
that.
Of course.
We shouldn't stay inside. We should definitely, definitely run.
And then they run
to provoke
and it's crazy.
The birds, even. Like you would think that maybe that would make the birds mad. I feel like we should have stayed in the school.
Well,
I think
to be
hiding
fair,
under desks would do more in that situation of birds
than the atomic bombs.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
will say that Melanie has already experienced it in a situation in which the birds made it to the house anyway.
That's fair.
They got
fair.
In. So walls don't seem to really, I don't know where she's going.
Yeah.
Why she's got to rile up the children for it. She was trying to stop them from going. Like, I thought she went in to stop them from going out for recess. I thought she was going to be like, don't go outside. All the crows are there.
And then she's like, we're running.
And then, like, first three crows showed up. my husband was like, oh no, it's an attempted murder. That was a good joke. Anyway. Lots of crazy things happen. I will say it was really fun to watch without context, just watching the birds like happen. So like when they're in the house and they come through the chimney and it's just like flocking. I was like, how are they doing this? Like for me, I was like, that's because they're clearly not there. Like some might be, but it's clear there's this overlay. So I was like, was there a green screen?
They do that? Yeah.
Even when she's on the boat, like, I was like, that's not, she's not on that boat. I don't believe you. Like, something's going on. Like, some of the shots look like they were make pretend in that way. When the kids are running and all the birds are, I was like, that has to be something going on. So that was really fascinating for me.
Yeah.
So just
early
some,
film theory, yeah.
Yeah. So just some fun facts about the making of the birds. If you are a cinephile like me and you think that's interesting. Firstly, the majority of the birds that are in the film are real. They had so many different birds. They gathered them from all over the place. And I remember saying, like, this is before it was like no animals were harmed in this the making of this film. So I was like, no, they're just throwing birds. They don't care. They're just throwing birds.
Like
release birds and they're like, they're literally like, I'll talk about it, but they're literally throwing birds at this actress with malicious intent. Hitchcock has malicious intent, but they did have, it was estimated of more than $200,000 spent on mechanical birds. But we will find out later in this episode that those mechanical birds weren't always used, even though they were promised to be used. And would have been safer for the actors involved. There were special effects. So what they used, which was called the sodium vapor process, otherwise known as the yellow screen, which will film a subject against a screen with narrow spectrum sodium vapor lights. Don't know what that is. Sounds cool. And then it would shoot two separate elements of the footage simultaneously using a beam splitter, again, another piece of technology I don't know much about. And you would find one reel is regular film stock, and the other would be a film stock with emulsion sensitive, that is sensitive to the sodium vapor thing. So it would be this process that would allow them to manipulate what we're seeing on screen. And it says that it could be compared to blue screen special effects, which was used a lot for like when there was the birds kind of overlaid over what was happening. So especially the trickier scenes were the scene in which they come through the what is that called? Fireplace. When the birds come in and attack through the fireplace. And that's when I was first like, something's going on. And that was a very complicated film thing to film and just to composite in that way. And then the other one that was tricky was with all the school children running. And there was just like a swarm of birds and they were all coming at the kids. There were some real birds happening, but a lot of it was that they put... like a the overlap of them, they had to like resize them and shape them so they look like they were actually there.
And so then, they didn't throw birds at kids.
I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
I won't quote that. They did, but the boat, like, to make it look as crazy as it was, they weren't using real, like, birds in that. Like, they weren't putting, all those birds weren't there doing that stuff. The bulk of the time. What if, it was so funny. Like, they're just doing stuff and they're just like, oh no, the bird stole Susie. The bird just took Susie away. It's crazy. So, some of the themes or theories of what the birds, the film, could actually be about, like what it could be trying to say, what Hitchcock might be trying to represent, is the fact that, and this I got from The Take, which I mentioned a few times, the video is called The Birds, Why Do the Birds Attack? And they bring up the idea that, first of all, bird, especially at the time, is another word for woman. And so it could be a commentary on female behavior and gender dynamics, essentially just seeing how women interact with each other and pine for a man's attention. Because we do know that the school teacher also was interested in this man. And it's kind of through their... like, it escalates all the way to the point where the school teacher dies. And it's like, oh, look at it. Female on female violence. Sure. Like, oh, women are so vicious to each other when they're trying to get a man. It's like, oh. The other one that I think would feel more, feels a bit more likely to me is this idea of the birds kind of being the backlash against the modern woman, because Melanie is so much of that. She's very modern. She's a compulsive liar. She's impulsive. She, you know, does whatever she wants. And she, you know, has that instance where she was skinny dipping and she clearly has no qualms about just dropping whatever she was up to, which is probably nothing of importance to pursue her next idea, right?
And she's also very forward with him, which I guess was also like pretty rare for the time. And like, she's like very much like, no red flags, I'm coming for you, I brought you birds, I'm coming up with any excuse to get with you. Absolutely.
I should eat my birds, please respond. She absolutely is. And because of that escalation of the birds starting as soon as she gets to town, because like, you know, as soon as she gets to town, it's the first time the birds attack is after she's made that first like offer by bringing the birds to him.
Yeah.
And then it's like, as she's progressively getting involved, they're amping up. Right. Yeah. It's clear that the town starts being suspicious of her to the point where they outright blame her for the way that the birds are acting.
Yeah.
There's also the, of course. Yeah. She somehow.
It's her because wild woman going perfume on. And pheromones that are setting the birds, making them mad.
Yeah. It's also, they bring up this idea that in the end and throughout the film, the lovebirds who are caged are the only birds that we see in the film that aren't acting up, right? They don't get affected by whatever's happening outside, and it's probably because they're not eating the same food, but it could be just this idea of like, oh, if you settle down, you get married, you get caged up, you're gonna be good. You won't go crazy.
Wild women, a single wild woman, gotta hate them, of course.
Can't sexually active and proud,
but these happy lovebirds that are in a cage together, just so calm, obedient. And happy and obedient to the government.
We have a mom now. Yeah. the government, you communist. this Red Scare happening. Yeah. And then another point is, as we said in the beginning of the film, we have these caged birds, and then we have a bunch of humans walking around free. And at the end, it is the humans that are caged and the birds that are free.
Yes.
And that's a really fun swap. And it could just be this like commentary of us not respecting nature, not caring for nature.
That's true.
Which is very true. And also, especially now with like climate change coming, a bigger issue, that incidences that influenced one of the true stories that influences film are going to happen more and more frequently. I think a new birds film would absolutely be the place to do it. Yeah. The other an idea that also is there is the fact that the source material for the film The Birds is The Birds novel by Daphne du Maurier. And for her, the book, in her book, the birds were an allegory for Nazis. Oh. And so for Hitchcock, this could be an allegory for the Cold War and the missile crisis, which is when we're seeing like people ducking and covering, as well as like some of those people who are harbingers.
No.
Yeah. Harbingers. Yeah. Like, what is the harbingering? The end of times, right? Like, yeah. The end is nigh. This is it. It's the end of the world. And that's very much the rhetoric and the feelings that was happening at that time when we were in the midst of that tension of, will they, won't they,
yeah,
wipe us all out? And especially like it's an aerial thing. It feels hopeless and there's also no answer.
Yeah.
So very much could be, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like they're always here, they're everywhere, and it's only a matter of time.
Uh-huh.
Super scary. As I alluded to, the birds are based somewhat on a true story, so they were already making the film, it was based on this book, and then there happened to be a year beforehand a real case in which birds went a little loopy. And so in Santa Cruz, and the Santa Cruz Sentinel, there was a report that on August 18, 1961, that there was an account of thousands of birds raining down from the sky. They were crashing into homes and cars and just like making a crazy mess, biting people. 8 people reported that they were bitten by birds. Oh my God, so scary. Honestly. And Edna Massini, who's a proprietor of the Venetian Court Motel on the beach of Capitola, which is where this happened, wrote about the day saying, struggling to the door, I was awed at the sight of hundreds of birds, all with the cry of a baby. They were heavy with sardines, unable to fly, and lost in the dense fog as they came in from the sea, attracted by our lights. They slammed against the building, regurgitating fish blood and knocking themselves out. Our manager phoned me, asking me what to do. She knew it was the end of the world. Panic set in. Sure, it was germ warfare. And this idea of heavy with sardines and regurgitating fish blood helped us inform and figure out what actually was occurring at the time with these birds, which are known as sooty shearwaters. That's the type of bird that was doing this stuff. And it seemed like obviously they were more sick than lost, but at the time the prevailing theory was that they were lost in the fog.
Okay.
The fog disoriented them, and they do flock, and so they try to follow one, and if one bird person going crazy, then we're all going crazy.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were sick seems like something is wrong. So then many years later, like in recent times, scientists actually found the cause to be domoic acid poisoning. And domoic acid is a neurotoxin that is produced by several species of Pseudonychia, which is a microalgae that flourishes in nutrient-rich warm water and low wind. And so it essentially this domoic acid infiltrated the food chain by finding, yeah, its way to plankton, anchovies, other things that would eat those things, and then it found its way to brown pelicans, and then obviously to the sooty shearwaters. And when the neurotoxin passes through the blood, brain barriers in birds and mammals, it can cause confusion, disorientation, seizures, coma, even death. So the fact that they were like vomiting and like gross and kind of just clearly sick is not because they were lost and stuck in the fog. It was because they were poisoned, and that's why they were acting really weird.
Yeah, because they fly through fog all the time, right? Isn't that like the whole thing?
Yeah, they can like allow they just look at the butt in front of them.
Yeah,
somebody's gonna know where they're going just straight. But the thing is, like, they do flock, and so they're all going to feed in the same places, they're all going to get infected in the same way, and they're traveling, so they're infecting as they go, which is why we kind of saw them acting a little cuckoo. Which is why I was like, it only takes one stomach ache
for the birds to
turn on us. So that's the fun things about the film. I would be remiss to not mention some of the horrifying things that occurred for the birds, specifically the behind the scenes in which Tippi Hedren in her memoir had admitted to some horrifying things that Alfred Hitchcock subjected her to because she had rebuffed his advances. So he was known for being obsessed with his it girls, you know, typically blondes, that he was like, I'm going to make something out of you, definitely power complex. And so he pursued her. He saw her in a commercial for like a diet drink and was like, she's the one, she's it. Yeah. And she was like, no, I don't want to be with you. And he used his power to do some horrible things and to suppress her career. Oh. And she persevered regardless. But according to her memoir, she has made a few claims in which Hitchcock had tried to sexually assault her, where he, you know, tried to push himself on her in a limousine, times when he would come into her room. He went out of his way to really manipulate where she was and how she was experiencing her time, to be near him. Like, and she is, she, and there was like a quote, I'm definitely misquoting it, but it was essentially like, it is like awful to be the object of someone's desires when you have no interest in that.
Yeah.
When you don't want to be. And so she, you know, had spurned these advances, didn't want this man. She has no interest in him. And so in her doing this, they were in the middle of making the birds, and where he was like, okay, fine then. And so everything was, she says in her memoir, everything was building toward the famous bedroom scene. And so up until the day of filming, she had been told they were going to use these mechanical birds that they spent a lot of money on.
Yeah.
And so that bedroom scene where she's like, closes the door and they're just coming at her. And instead, the assistant director, James H. Brown, was like, oh, the mechanical birds aren't working, so we're going to have to use live ones. Right. And it was, she essentially entered 5 days of filming where handlers hurled ravens, doves, and pigeons at her. She is quoted as saying it was brutal and ugly and relentless. There were some birds that were attached to her clothing and they were just pecking her. Like, a lot of like the acting in there is very genuine because she was literally being attacked by birds. They were throwing them at her. And, you know, they felt uncomfortable. There's another actor who was famous at the time who was there, and he was like, you are the strongest person I know, because that's insane what I just saw happening to you. And then to the point where, like, she, on like the last day, one of the last days of filming, one of the birds that was tied to her started pecking her and almost pecked her eye.
So
then she's like, absolutely not. Like, she finally draws a line after 5 days of filming this. And was like, okay, absolutely not. And, you know, a doctor was brought in to look her over, and the doctor, like, she's hysterical. Birds are
filled with illness.
Yes. And they don't care. Like, also the birds are not in a good place.
Yeah, they're being tormented. Throwing them
at this woman, and they're pecking her. They're obviously riled up.
Yeah. Oof,
so stressful. And so she was like, absolutely like losing it, and she calls it, she's like, I'm done, she's sobbing. And then she found herself, like, when she finally like looked up, everyone had abandoned her. She was just alone on the soundstage. So then a doctor is ordered to look at her, and the doctor's like, you need to rest for a week. Like, you are at like your wit's end, you're not looking well, you need to rest. And Hitchcock says, she can't. We have nothing else to shoot but her. And the doctor says, what are you doing? Are you trying to kill her? And all of this because she had said no. And then on top of that, she was in contract with him, and it was supposed to be for 7 years. And so essentially he manipulated things where she couldn't work with anybody else. She did one more film with him called Marnie, about a kleptomaniac woman with mental health problems, who in the film, there is a scene in which she is assaulted and raped by her husband. And Hedren believes that the scene in which a man is forcing himself on a woman that does not want it is Hitchcock's personal fantasy about her. And the stuff increased where there were like reports of one, he commissioned a replica mask of her face for himself, even though it had nothing to do with the film. They never needed that mask. He moved her dressing room so it was next to his office and had a connecting door so he can come in whenever he wanted. He allegedly sent a toy coffin to her daughter, which had a doll that looked like Tippi in it. Jesus. And that was like it. She was like, this is it. And she was like, absolutely not. Like, we're not doing this anymore.
Is he dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Yes. Yes. It is good. Yeah, she, so
I just was like, he either needs to be dead or in jail. I was sorry, but we are now, we're good.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. And I mean, the memoir like took all this time to come out, and not everyone believes her still, because of course, like, he's so upheld as this important figure in film history. And I absolutely get how people can get caught up in those things. Yeah. But we believe women. So,
yeah.
It was just really tricky because he held her contracts. And so he
could ruin her career at any point.
He did. Yeah. He made it impossible for her to work, even though she was an up and coming actress. Like, people were like, she's it. She's the next one. She's going to do it. And so for like 3 years, she wasn't able to make work, and she finally got out of this contract. But by then, Hollywood forgot about her. So she did like, you know, some TV shows and other appearances. And eventually she made a film with one of her husbands, which was called Roar, which featured a bunch of big cats, which I think is funny because just last week we were talking about Beast.
Yeah.
It featured a bunch of big cats and talking about not having trainers and not having animal protection. Every single person, like, there's like a joke where it's like, no animals are harmed in this film, but like 70 cast and crew members were.
Yeah,
because they like they're animals and they attack people up to the point where Tippi had a bunch of stitches from getting bitten by a lion. Her daughter Millie Griffith had her daughter had facial reconstructive surgery because of an attack. Jeez. and yet the woman lives now on a nature reserve with like 14 to 15 big cats.
Yeah.
She lives in harmony with them. And she's also done a lot of amazing other things, including supporting Vietnamese refugees during the war and getting them resources and ultimately changing like the history of their impact on America as well. But yeah, she persevered and has done a lot for herself and is living happily. And her granddaughter is also amazing. So it's just like Dakota Johnson is her granddaughter for people. But yeah, she just like really, she was out there, she was doing it. And I think that's phenomenal and worthy of, you know, getting some credit for that. And for, she did it. She continued on with this film, and other people were like, why didn't you, like, you should just leave. And she was like, no, I'm going to finish.
Yeah, I'm not going to let this.
You can literally throw birds at me.
Yeah.
And I'm still showing up. And she held her own while they literally threw birds at her for 5 days.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's rough.
So that was my selection.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little stuff about some birds. Gabe already knows why birds are scary, but essentially I'm going to tell you about some birds that you didn't know you needed to be afraid of. Like ducks, totally cool. You have nothing to fear with ducks. Ducks are sweet little babies.
Except as fathers, they're bad fathers.
Well,
we did discover that.
Makes me sad. Chickens also, like, they're a little germy, but they're cute little babies. Like, they're not really going to bother you. But there are some birds, and like, what are they called? Crows? Super smart. Smartest little babies in town. Like, they are super smart. I don't know why they're called a murder when they're together, otherwise that are scary looking when they're all together swarming you. But like, those are not the birds that are actually scary. The birds that were in this film, not really that scary at all. The birds you should be scared of are the following. So I read two articles about what are the most dangerous birds. We have 6 most dangerous birds from Britannica, and then we have an honorable mention where there's some overlap for 7 deadliest birds on Earth from A to Z animals. So first I'm going to go through the 6 most deadly birds, or dangerous birds. Is first, the cassowary. It's located in Australia and New Guinea. Its weapons are its strong feet and 3-toed dagger-like nails. It did not give me a clear indication if it could fly. If it could fly, I don't think it can. It's like an ostrich or an emu, so generally probably flightless. But yeah, they are really, really fast. So they can run 31 miles per hour. Apparently, attacks on humans are relatively rare, but when they do occur, it's human provoked. Generally, essentially, a castor.
Why are you messing with birds?
A castor kicked the crap out of somebody, and they were fine. I kicked them off of a ledge and into a body of water.
They deserved it,
and he was fine. Like, he lived. But the most famous attack and the only one that resulted in a confirmed death occurred in 1926 when a member of a group of teenage boys were hunting cassowaries, and one got vengeance and murdered him by slashing at his neck.
That's amazing, especially because they're like endangered.
Yeah.
So
sad that someone died, but also they were not
don't hunt them.
At the spot that they should be. And you shouldn't be hunting an endangered species. I don't know if they're endangered yet, but probably.
But that's why.
Yeah. The next bird is ostrich. So we have open country in Africa, one of the locations that ostriches are. They are very large, 9 feet tall, 330 pounds. If that bird sits on you, you could die.
330 pounds?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a wrestler.
Yeah, they're big boys. At least that's what this article said. I don't know. Their weapons are their strong legs and two toes that have hoofs so they can kick the crap out of you. They cannot fly, but they can run 45 miles per hour at your face. So you cannot escape an ostrich. If it runs at you, you're done. I think there's actually like TikTokers and like influencers that have birds, and the whole thing is that they do try to attack them. That's part of the bit, but I don't know. It's scary. So if cornered, like I can deliver dangerous kicks capable of killing lions and other large predators. Death from kicks and slashes are rare, with most attacks resulting from humans provoking the birds. One of the most interesting ostrich attacks, according to this article, is involving the musician Johnny Cash, who kept an exotic animal park with ostriches on his property. And he encountered an aggressive male ostrich several times during his walks in the woods in 1981. And on one occasion, Cash brandished a 6-foot stick and swung it at the bird, who dodged a swipe and slashed at Cash with his foot. So that bird was like, huh, you thought, and then got him back. Cash
My head is this big, you know?
Yeah, like, right. Cash noted that the blow struck him in the stomach, and if it weren't for his strong belt buckle, he said the ostrich's toe would have cut his abdomen open and killed him. So, belt buckles.
Why are you messing with these birds, idiot?
It was honestly like, why are you crying at him with your cane? Like, that's, you provoked the bird. And that's what they said. Like, birds aren't going to attack you unless you do something to them. Like, that's generally, or if in case of owls, you just exist in their territory.
You look like a mouse.
Other than that, generally, birds are not going to, like, mess with you. They're like, you start something, I'm going to finish it. That's what birds say. So, next on the list is similar. It's an emu. Super fast, 30 miles per hour, survived multiple extermination attempts by settlers. Most of the other emu species have been deemed extinct because humans suck. They're related to cassowaries. Essentially, their weapons are their toe claws and big kicks, similarly to ostrich and emus and cassowaries. And ostriches similarly have a toe claw that are capable of eviscerating animals under the right conditions. Human fatalities are extremely rare. However, reports of an emu attack resulting in a range of injuries in Australia does happen in a wild animal park, emu farms, and zoos across the world. It is not uncommon, with more than 100 occurring in 2009 alone. Specifically,
109 attacks.
They're endangered. Like, you don't need to keep them on your property. They're going to kick you, hurt you if you provoke them. Don't be like Johnny Cash. Don't try to hit birds with canes. It's just common sense. Like, don't mess with birds. They're not probably going to mess with you. The next one is a fun name. It's a Lammergeiger. Like, what?
Lammergeier.
Lammergeier. Like, it's very fun. It's a fun name.
Yeah.
Located in the mountainous regions of Central Asia and Eastern Africa. I could have been saying the bird name wrong. I just think it's spelled fun. They're it also is. Located in Spain. So they're 40 inches long with a wingspan of 10 feet. So they're big boys. And their weapons are dropping things from way up high. So they pick stuff up drop them 250 feet onto what they think are rocks from 260 feet away. But could be you. So essentially, their other attack is big swoop. They love to swoop down and be scary. But a fun fact that the swoop is the name of the Philadelphia Eagles mascot, because you know what else swoops? Eagles.
They're also known as the bearded vulture, and I just looked them up and they are really scary looking. Like, they look like a little guy in like pants. And
I love that.
The way they stand, but their eyes are like beady. Like, they look like,
I like think they're related to vultures.
They're whacked out.
They're supposed to look a little scary.
scary.
And like, as I said, their human attack element is rare. There's one suspected instance where they dropped a tortoise on someone. And they died. So the bird took up 260 feet, was trying to open up the turtle so he could eat him up. That's the whole point. That's why they bring him up high, drop him down. And so that hard shelled things, they can get in there. But they dropped them on a person, at least that's the theory, and they did not survive. They also said it could have been inspiration by fabricated by a comic writer to get like fame, but we don't know. Next is a great horned owl located across the Americas, 2 feet in size. Weapons are again swoop attack as well as sharp talons and beaks. I don't know if they're Pokemon, but I'm basically saying that they got like moves where they can attack you. They are known to swoop and think you're a treat and cause harms with their talons. Essentially, their talons have a clutching force as strong as 500 PSI, which is similar to a bite of a large guard dog, and thus great enough to permanently hurt, blind, or kill somebody. Greyhorn owls, like most owl species, tend to concentrate on the face and head in battles with larger animals. So watch out for owls. In another instance, a barred owl, which is very famous for swooping, is located in eastern United States, where we live, and southeastern Canada. They weigh about 1.4 to 1.8 pounds and have a wingspan of about 43 inches. Attacks by barred owls on hikers have been reported in Texas to British Columbia. It's fairly common, more common than the other birds, I would say, probably.
Yeah, well, because... so the barred owl, and this is one of my favorite things, like I learned about this and I was like, see, birds are scary.
Valid fear. Yeah.
This is solid fear. So
tell us about it.
Specifically this bird is, there is what is known as the owl theory in reference to a popular true crime case called The Staircase, in which a man, Michael Peterson's second wife, suffered incredible violent attack, to which he was like, she fell down the stairs, and they're like, she was like stabbed a lot, like there's a, like, this is not fell down the stairs. And it's, there's been so many TV shows and books and all kinds of things written about it, and I think you know, while in the true crime space, there was at the time someone came forth with this theory called the owl theory, in which the instigating situation for this woman was instead that she had been attacked by an owl outside, and then had come in, and then because of the blow and the like the blood loss and the sustained injuries from that attack, fell down the stairs, and so it contributed to that. The support for it, because it's like, it's crazy, but the support for it is one that, like, specifically these owls in those, like, the cases referenced it with hikers and joggers who are attacked by these birds, is like, when you think about it, like, you're jogging, and if they're like, owls are hunting in either at night or at dusk, right? So like, they're not going off of, like, they don't got the best eyes, right? In that way. And so you're jogging, and if you have a ponytail and it's bobbing up and down, it kind of, like, if you're far enough away and you're a bird, it kind of looks like a mouse or a squirrel or something running. So it comes and it swoops, and it's got giant knife feet that claw at you and then can cause all kinds of horrible injuries. Also, a 2014 study published in the Journal of Experimental Biology notes that an owl weighing less than a pound can pounce on a mouse with a force equivalent to 150 times the weight of a rodent. And if a 175-pound human were struck with the same intensity, it would feel like you were being hit by a 13-ton truck.
Nice.
That's crazy. And I was like, wow, these people in this film got off scot-free considering what the force of this owl could have been. It was
daytime.
it was the crows and other things. So they can do blunt force trauma. But on top of that, besides the fact that there were incidences in which owls were attacking people up into one bird or several, because it's like, who knows if it was one bird or several, named Owl Capone. Owl Capone.
Yeah, I get it.
But what contributed to the owl theory, and specifically the staircase case, is that they found in her hair, Kathleen Peterson, they found microscopic feathers in her hair, which is only found on the feet part of the bird.
Owl. Yeah.
And so it's like, how did she get that? And they never answer that. It never was brought up in court, of course, because of like whatever. But I'm like, how did she get birds on her? Like, yeah. For me, I'm like, I was sold at that point. I was like, maybe.
Well,
like,
they just wanted to say he did it, right? Isn't that the whole thing?
I mean, honestly, he probably did it. Honestly, it's really hard to argue that he didn't. But the idea was that a bird attacked and then she came in and then that happens. Also, like some of the injuries are comparable to that of what would have happened if you
were attacked by an owl.
So maybe he's a little bit of a Snow White villain and he enlisted the help of Al Capone.
Sure. He communicated with owls and enlisted them to murder his wife. I don't think that's what happened. I think maybe she got attacked by an owl and then circumstance happened. And he was like, that's a lot. Bye. Sure.
I think he murdered his wife and that's why he's in prison.
Yeah. Well, how did they get the owl parts on him? That's the part.
I don't know. She was outside. Maybe it's just out there.
Do you have pet owls?
Maybe we all have owls on us and we don't know.
I don't think that's true. But maybe.
They're microscopic. It could have been like in the grass. Microscopic
bird stuff evaluated.
That you know of.
That I have gotten evaluated. That's what I'm saying. I never had it tested to see if I have bird stuff in my hair. You could be full of owls. Sure. Yeah.
We could all be full of owls.
What is this, Batman?
This is my conspiracy now.
So, honorable mentions to three other deadly birds. We have Australian magpie, obviously located in Australia because of its name. Its weapon is swooping. There's a swooping season. They just all fly down and swoop down and mess people up.
No.
They don't like murder anyone, but they definitely like cause problems and like make
birds
people
swooping.
I'd be like, oh no. You know, it disrupts situations. It's called swooping season. It occurs between July and November. It's such a long time. And coincides with breeding season. This aggressive swooping behavior is employed by males of the species and is intended to protect their nests during the period of the eggs being laid. So it's like they're running coordinated attacks, essentially.
And if they decided you're the villain, right? Like, they got to protect from you. That's it, bud. That's it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there was an incident where a child was killed by a swooping attack from a magpie in 2021. So
2021, that was yesterday.
Yeah, no, it's super sad. So it does happen. They are very defensive and territorial of their nests. So they did end up murdering a child, which is sad.
See, here's the thing, though, right? All the other animals we've encountered.
Yeah.
It's like, don't be there, right? But birds are everywhere.
Yeah, you can't run away. You can't really get away. Like, especially, there's a lot of these live in Australia. So, unfortunately, Australia's just dangerous.
First of all, just don't go to Australia.
But, a lot of them, like, the owls, they could be anywhere. Owls are, an everywhere kind of thing. Like, they really kind of
exist
in all spaces and have similar claws and stuff to be scary.
If they, just one bad day, one bad meal, that's it for us.
Next honorable mention is harpy eagle, located in rainforests of South America. They're very effective in their fights. As the largest eagle in America, has an impressive wingspan of 6.5 feet, and they're unafraid of hunting down prey as large as sloths or monkeys as a result. Real thing. Generally, they treat humans indifferently, but if they're a hunter, you're possible to get targeted. The other one is the only poisonous bird that exists. It's called the pitohi. I think that's
pitohi.
Pitohi. Mm. P-I-T-O-H-U-I is located in New Guinea. Location, New Guinea. Its weapon is poison. It has learned to eat poisonous things, and therefore, if you touch it, you'll die. It's similar to the poison dart frog. It's a cute little baby, but it's very much poisonous. You touch it, you are poisoned, and you will likely die. They don't produce the toxin themselves. It's just through eating the poisonous things.
So they're like sweating toxins?
Yes. Yeah. They're basically like their saliva and everything else is poison.
They're so cute.
Yeah, they're little tiny little babies. And then the crowned eagle is the last one, located in Africa. Again, bird fatalities are rare, but they do happen. And usually after being provoked, essentially, just big eagle can murder. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So last but not least, another reason to fear birds is that touching birds they're filled with over 60 diseases. Illnesses are all up in birds. Birds are covered in them. Birds can give you histoplasmosis, which is a respiratory disease that may be fatal. This is from birds, and their droppings can carry over 60 diseases on Medical News Today, just so we know that it has a source that does sound valid. So essentially it results from a fungus growing in dried bird droppings. It's something like if birds poop on you or you touch bird poop and then you touch any part of your body, you could get this. It's called histoplasmosis. The next is candidiasis, which is a yeast and fungus infection spread by pigeons. That's why they basically say, like, pigeons, you don't really want to touch them because they do have germs. The disease affects the skin and mouth, and the respiratory system, the intestines, and the urogenital tract, especially apparently the vagina. So it is a growing problem for women, causing itching, pain, and discharge. It's from birds, though. You get it from the pigeons. So if you live in an area in
other regions
with pigeons, that's a possibility for you. Cryptococcosis is a medical language fun. Is caused by a yeast found in the intestinal tract of pigeons and starlings. This illness begins as a pulmonary disease and may later affect the central nervous system. Essentially, if you're anywhere where birds poop or a nest or anything like that, the fungus is found in those areas, so it's not really safe for you. The next one is St. Louis encephalitis. It's an inflammation and nervous system illness that usually causes drowsiness, headache, and fever. It may even result in paralysis, coma, and death. Then you have salmonella, which you know about. Just don't touch dead birds or their eggs. Eggshells is actually what can give you salmonella poisoning from eggs, not the yolk or the white part of the thing. So salmonella, E. coli, obviously. And then they also are very known to carry ectoparasites, which are bed bugs, chicken mites, yellow mealworms, and West Nile virus.
So fun.
And if you were to be attacked by a bird, essentially, Medical News Today also gives you a little rundown of how to survive that. So essentially, is watch out for hovering and clacking. To intimidate predators, many species will hover and clack their beaks before attacking. No. Give a little, like, they do that, warning. Like,
kind of weird.
They're flying over. if you observe this behavior, be ready for a bird attack. It says essentially, if the bird attack is happening, cover your eyes and cover your ears. The bird's swooping down quickly, striking at the head and shoulders with its wings or beak. You want to cover your eyes and your ears because those are the holes that the bird can get inside. You gotta just protect them from the pokey beaks. They say,
I can't even think about my ears. That's so scary.
Yes.
Get out of there.
Yeah. You know, like birds like dig for worms and stuff. They think that could be in your ears. Just like cover them up.
And then they're putting their mites in there. Get out of here.
Yep. So they say, if this does happen, cover your eyes and ears. Run for cover away from nesting or foraging areas. Run as fast as you can away from the area that the bird is protecting. Many species will attack because you're near their nest, not because they like hate people. Like it's because you're near their stuff that's important to them, their survival, their future. Like they made babies. You're not supposed to be near the babies. Just like you would say for lions or bears, you don't want to go near the cubs. This is the bird equivalent of that. You can't always help it. You don't know where the birds have their babies because they're tiny little friends. They're tiny little babies. You can't always know where they are. So essentially running away can prevent the bird from continuing to attack you, because if you leave the area of their nest, they're likely to leave you alone.
They're like, okay, cool. You listened.
Yeah, they're like, thank you. You did what I asked. It's bird communication. You can't ask the bird what they want, but you can run away from the area that the bird is, and that'll likely solve the problem.
Yeah.
Be aware. They said, just wear hats, you know, when you go outside. You can offer you protection against birds. Ducks and geese are apparently notorious for going after people. I don't think ducks really are, but geese 100%.
Geese are scary.
Yeah, they can approach noisily with their heads high. When attacking, they'll often lower their heads, hiss, and charge. So you'll like know.
I would cry. I would genuinely, like, I don't even know. I would be crying.
Yeah.
If I encountered a goose.
Geese are like, they have sharp beaks. Like that's their attack method. They don't really have like claws like that. But they do, they're very protective over their young and their nesting areas, as well as each other.
They're Ryan Goslings.
Yeah, so you really have to run away from geese. Do not carry food near birds, because it's just not what my childhood was. We would actively go feed birds, so it's like really funny.
Yeah, but you gotta be careful what you feed them, because often people give them like bread, and that's bad for them. They can't digest it properly, so you're not supposed to give them bread. You can give them fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But essentially, birds habituated to human contact, including seagulls and crows, will swoop down and bite at foods and fingers that hold them, particularly if this person is gesticulating with the food. I don't know what that means.
It's moving like your arms. Like,
oh, okay.
Like
when you're talking. Thank you. Thank you, Gabe. You know words. essentially, like having food around birds that are like used to receiving food from humans, they may not understand that you're not trying to share and will attack. That's why they say don't feed the seagulls, because then you're going to train them to think that everyone's feeding them. And that's why they'll attack people.
It's too late.
Birds and other wildlife found on golf courses are generally protected by law. Never use a golf club as a weapon against them, is what this article said. I feel like
I mean
humans
take me away.
Humans are gonna be humans. So Gabe, when are you ever gonna be at a golf course? When are you gonna go golfing?
I hate them.
I know, exactly. Same.
Bad for the environment.
Remember those pigs that like violently ate up all the grass?
Oh, I love it. I was so great,
as they fucking should. Excuse my cursing. I love that for them. So yeah, you're not going to be at a golf course anyway, so you're not going to have to deal with this. But essentially, do not assume it is safe to approach a bird's nest. Do not assume that you are safe near birds. And just be mindful. Like, they're animals just like anyone else. They're old as heck. Like, they're from dinosaurs. You just need to be careful. Like,
they outnumber us. They have knives on their feet, an aerial advantage.
And the biggest thing for birds,
mostly dumb,
is that they're germy little babies. Like, you really just don't, bites and stuff like that from birds, it's just like any other animal bite, is not sanitary. They're filled with things that are not supposed to be in close range with humans. We're not with the immune systems to fight those things very well. I grew up with birds as pets, so like, I don't know. I never got sick from bird specific illnesses, but that's not to say that that doesn't exist, and you got to be careful. And they basically say, like, if you have pet birds, like, don't leave them alone with kids and stuff like that, because if you don't know that they got bit, it could get infected, because it's likely to, because birds are filled with germs.
So I guess they are rats with wings in that way.
Yeah, it's just like their poop is filled with lots of things that you wouldn't want to have germ-wise in your body.
The first of all, the only birds I like are penguins. I love penguins. Yeah. I also like crows. Crows are lovely. I like ducks. Away from me. Yeah. But I love penguins. They're super cute and they're the best. And then my second favorite birds is specifically the bird Apollo that I follow on TikTok and he says words.
Oh, I love y'all. Yeah. Mental. Parrots are really funny. I loved canaries and I loved, what are they called? Finches. Finches. My grandpa had they're finches.
They're pretty. I think, like, if I'm inside and looking at birds,
yeah,
I think they're pretty. I don't want to be near them.
Yeah. And my grandpa had a dove. He had two doves and they would lay little eggs and stuff.
Turtle doves?
No, they're just regular doves. Yeah, they're just like fancy pigeons, essentially. Like they're basically pigeons, but they're not technically. They're doves. Mm-hmm. All pigeons are technically doves, just like from a different side of town. They're so pretty. Pigeons are really pretty. I don't know. Yeah, they're super cute. They're I so love pretty. Pigeons.
I also love how hard. I love how hard male birds go to look so pretty.
Yeah.
And then like the girls are like, whatever, dude.
Yeah. Cardinals. Oh my God. Love you cardinals. You see
that video of like the really pretty bird and he's like dancing on the other one.
And the other one's and like, then
she's just like, what is going on? It's just like, hey. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Birds are vain as heck, especially the boy birds. But yeah, essentially, they're not going to really harm you unless you're really rude to them or you're jogging in a park. Those are the two instances. Other don't than the germs, like leave respect. Them alone.
Respect, wash your hands.
Wash your hands. The moral of the story for all of these situations is wash your hands. Don't just touch your face after touching birds. It's like common sense, honestly. Now you know if you didn't. Mm-hmm. If you're around birds, wash your hands. Especially because I'm going to eventually have chickens. That's going to be a thing that we do. And that's going to be really important.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that was a nice episode of a lot of things. Yeah. A little glimpse into the old ghouls and having kind of like sections and had a little media literacy and analysis in there. A little behind
the scenes. We're getting back to it. The new year. By the new year, we'll have reverted to our former selves at least a little bit.
I think it's been really fun learning a lot about animals and just like existence. I will say you will learn so much more in this episode than you will ever learn in the film The Birds. You learn nothing. It tells you nothing. Yeah,
it does not at all mimic actual bird behavior. Like they didn't even use the birds that are generally dangerous, like seagulls, sure, but the rest of them, they don't attack people.
Yeah, that lady who looked like my grandmother, she was correct. She was right in being like, I've never heard that. You're crazy.
Yeah, like they and wouldn't be doing like, this.
Okay, then what's happening? Why is the gas station on fire? I was like, how did they do this? This is so absurd. It's so silly.
Yeah.
And this monster of a man got to make it and torture a woman with it. What a time. Yeah. And it's also like, I just finished reading The Mist, and there was this like line where they're talking about the main character, his dad, hated when stories would kind of finish in this like ambiguous way where it was like, it's up to the viewers to or the readers to interpret what's going on. And he was like, that's lazy. And I was like, I agree. In this instance, you spent all that time being suspenseful and stressful. And like, you don't get to be artistic here at the end. Just tell me what's going on. Answer the question.
Yeah.
What is this? And she gets a mom now. And so she has mommy issues that she's a harlot. Like, what am I? Get out of here.
Yeah.
So mad. Like, whatever. And the lovebirds are still there. Being domesticated is good. Birds.
Yeah.
Domestication is great. So like, no, it's not. Anyway, whatever, says me who just got married. I'm doing it different, okay?
Yeah.
So that concludes this episode of The Birds. And stay tuned for the rest of the year. We'll be talking about other animals that are scary or maybe not. And we'll probably have arguments about our personal feelings about those animals and whether or not they exist and if we should be afraid. Let us know how you feel about the film The Birds and what your favorite Hitchcock film is. If you feel like the ghouls should cover other ones, let us know. I'm always interested to hear from people. If you like birds, if you have pet birds, you can send pictures to Kat.
I love them.
You can send them to theghoulsnextdoor@gmail.com
and then I'll show them to Gabe and Gabe will be like,
I'm like, oh, why? No, I'd be like, those are cute birds. Over there. Yeah. Those are cute over there. My husband also loves birds, so I'm trapped between. He constantly threatens me with the idea of getting a bird birds. Pet.
That's like, hilarious.
I was like, I'll just watch Apollo on TikTok, and that's that yeah. satisfies any we'll curiosity I had. Glask. Metal. So don't get married.
Play with your kids, or the birds will.
So. Or the bird will take them. Just take Susie away.
Yeah, take Susie. Just
take her.
Bye, Susie.
The birds. That little girl was a very bad actress, and it was enjoyable to me that she was so bad.
Yeah, it made it fun. It made it fun. No,
thank you. Are they a boy and a girl? The birds, they just wouldn't stop attacking. It was a girl. Stop reading. Okay. Bye. Yeah.